Hi guys, this is Kendra Kamer with the Candidly Kendra podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021. And today I wanted to read to you a poem that I've pretty recently discovered that I just love. I hope you love it too. It's called The Hound of Heaven by Frances Thompson. Every year, around this time, we go to our family cabin in the mountains near West Cliff, Colorado. Sometimes it snows. Sometimes it snows a lot, which I think it has this year. And I pretend that we live in Little House on the Prairie. Did I mention that this is a very rustic cabin? It's the place where we can get away. We can escape. We can hide out. We always take our dog Spike. Spike takes off at full speed the moment we let him out of the car and doesn't stop moving for hours. He is such a happy dog at the cabin. But his favorite place at the cabin might be the woodpile. I think that something must live in the woodpile, and Spike is relentless in his desire to flush it out. He is focused, determined, and single-minded. Well, this is how determined our Hound of Heaven God is to track down and save his children's souls. A few years ago, I looked up the poem The Hound of Heaven by Frances Thompson. It was written in 1893. Because I was intrigued by the idea of God's pursuit of our souls. This poem is incredibly beautiful and I want to share it with you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it to you. It's in very old English. So I'm going to read it in small sections and then just have a little bit of discussion about what each section means. But just to give you a little bit of background, it is the story of a soul running from the Hound of Heaven who is tracking him down. This is The Hound of Heaven by Frances Thompson. It's now public domain. I fled him. Down the nights and down the days, I fled him. Down the arches of the years, I fled him. Down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him and under running laughter. Up vistaed hopes, I sped and shot, precipitated. Adown titanic glooms of chasmed fears from those strong feet that followed after, but with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy they beat, and a voice beat, more instant than the feet, all things betray thee who betrayest me. You see, God is like a hound of heaven, deliberately, unperturbedly, and unhurryingly pursuing us. And when we wonder why the world betrays us, he says, all things betray thee who betrayest me. Why are we surprised when the world turns against us, hurts us, cancels us? Only God will never betray us. Let's continue with the poem. I pleaded outlaw-wise by many a hearted casement curtained red, trellised with intertwining charities. For though I knew his love who followed, yet I was sore adread, lest having him, I must have naught beside. I love the insight of this statement, loosely paraphrased. I knew he loved me, but I dreaded his love. I was afraid that if I chose him, I would have to give up everything else. Have you ever been afraid to follow God, thinking he would take away the things you loved? Let's continue. But if one little casement parted wide, the gust of his approach would class it to... Let me read that again. But if one little casement parted wide, the gust of his approach would clash it to. Fear wist not to evade as love wist to pursue. Okay, I think in this whole poem, that right there is my very favorite line. Fear wist not to evade as love wist to pursue. That means fear can't hide as well as love can pursue. The Hound of Heaven was pressing in close. Let's go on. Across the margent of the world I fled, and troubled the gold gateways of the stars, smiting for shelter on their clanged bars, fretted to dulcet jars and silvern chatter, the pale ports of the moon. I said to the dawn, be sudden, to eve, be soon. With thy young sky blossoms heap me over from this tremendous lover. Float thy vague veil about me, lest he see. I tempted all his servitors, but to find my own betrayal in their constancy. In faith to him, their fickleness to me, their traitorous trueness, and their loyal deceit. To all swift things for swiftness did I sue, clung to the whistling mane of every wind, but whether they swept smoothly fleet, the long savannas of the blue, or whether, thunder-driven, they clanged his chariot thwart a heaven, plashy with flying lightnings round the spurn of their feet. Fear wist not to evade as love wist to pursue. Still, with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, came on the following feet, and a voice above their beat, "Naught shelters thee who wilt not shelter me." You see, the soul ran on, seeking shelter from the deliberate pursuit of the Hound of Heaven. He even sought help from the servants of the Hound of Heaven, only to discover that they were loyal to him, that is, the Hound, and therefore they betrayed the soul. Still, coming unhurryingly, deliberately, the Hound of Heaven said, "No one will shelter you, you who will not shelter me." Where have you sought shelter apart from God? In finances, in friendships, in success? Let's keep reading. "I sought no more that after which I strayed in face of manner made, but still within the little children's eyes seemed something, something that replies, they at least are for me, surely for me. I turned to them very wistfully, but just as their young eyes grew sudden fair, with dawning answers there, their angel plucked them from me by the hair." You see, the soul turned from men and women and looked instead to children to help him. "Surely they at least are for me." But just when he thought maybe that would work, no, children couldn't save him. Have you ever looked to children to save you? It's an interesting thought. It seems kind of ridiculous at first thought. Why would children help anybody? I mean, can they help anybody? They're the ones who usually need help. But we do sometimes place our greatest hopes on our own kids. And then let's go on with the poem. "Come then, ye other children, natures, share with me," said I, "your delicate fellowship. Let me greet you lip to lip. Let me twine you with caresses, wantoning, with our Lady Mother's vagrant tresses, banqueting with her in her wind-walled palace, underneath her azure dais, quaffing, as your taintless way is, from a chalice, lucent weeping out of the dayspring." So it was done. I and their delicate fellowship was one. Drew the bolt of nature's secrecies. I knew all the swift importings on the willful face of the skies. I knew how the clouds arise, spumed, of the wild sea snortings. All that's born or dies rose and drooped with, made them shaper of mine own moods, of wailful or divine. With them joyed and was bereaven. I was heavy with the even. When she lit her glimmering tapers round the day's dead sanctities, I laughed in the morning's eyes. I triumphed, and I saddened. With all weather, heaven and I wept together. And its sweet tears were salt with mortal mine. Against the red throb of its sunset heart, I laid my own to beat and share commingling heat. But not by that. By that was eased my human smart. In vain my tears were wet on heaven's gray cheek. For ah, we know not what each other says. These things and I, in sound I speak. Their sound is but their stir. They speak by silences. Nature, poor stepdame, cannot slake my drouth. Let her, if she would owe me. Drop yon blue bosom veil of sky and show thy, the breasts of her tenderness. Never did any milk of hers once bless my thirsting mouth. You see, giving up on the safety of humans altogether, next the soul turned to nature. Maybe the wind, the weather, the sky could bring true security. It seemed for a moment that maybe this would work. The soul connected deeply with nature, but alas, even nature couldn't soothe the soul. Nature couldn't quench his thirst. Are you thirsting for something and find that the world's water leaves you high and dry, so to speak? This reminds me of John 4, verses 13 and 14, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." Nature cannot quench my drouth, slake my drouth. He says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus is the living water, the only one who can quench our soul thirst. So let's keep going with the poem. "Naked, I wait thy love's uplifted stroke. My harness, piece by piece, thou hast hewn from me and smitten me to my knee. I am defenseless, utterly. I slept, methinks, and woke, and slowly gazing, find me stripped in sleep in the rash lusty head of my young powers. I shook the pillaring hours and pulled my life upon me, grimed with smears. I stand amid the dust of the mounded years. My mangled youth lies dead beneath the heap. My days have crackled and gone up in smoke, have puffed and burst as sun stars on a stream. Yet faileth now even dream, the dreamer, and lute the lutenist. Even the linked fantasies in whose blossomy twist I swung the earth a trinket at my wrist are yielding. Chords of all too weak account for earth with heavy grief so overplussed. Ah, is thy love indeed a weed? Albeit an amaranthine weed, suffering no flowers except its own demount? Ah, must, designer infinite, ah, must thou char the wood ere thou canst limb with it? My freshness spent its wavering shower in the dust, and now my heart is as a broken fount, wherein tear dripping stagnate, spilt down ever from the dank thoughts that shiver upon the sifal branches of my mind. Such is, what is to be? The pulp so bitter, how shall I taste the rind? I dimly guess what time and mist confounds, yet ever in and on a trumpet sounds. From the hid battlements of eternity, those shaken mists a space unsettle, and then round the half-glimpsed turrets slowly wash again, but not ere him who summoneth. I first have seen, enwound with glooming robes purpureal, cypress-crowned. His name I know, and what his trumpet saith. Whether man's heart or life it be which yields thee harvest, must thy harvest fields be dunged with rotten death? Okay, that one's a tricky one. You see, what's happening here is now, as time gathers and piles at the soul's feet, he comes to terms with the arrival of the Hound of Heaven. I am struck by the imagery presented in his dreaded anticipation. Love's uplifted stroke, the assumption that by love, the Hound of Heaven is going to strike him. Describing love as a weed, allowing no flowers except his own. He said that the pulp is so bitter, how bitter must be the rind. And then he says, oh, how about this one? It's so beautiful. He says, hold on, I have to find it. Ah, must thou char the wood ere thou canst limb with it? That means light. Do you really have to burn the wood before you can use it for light? You see, this is how God uses us, and the soul understands this, that he burns us up before he can make us beautiful, and the soul dreads this. He says, to yield you harvest, do we have to die? Whether man's heart or life it be, which yields thee harvest, must thy harvest fields be dunged with rotten death? The soul understands that the love of the Hound of Heaven is so immense as to destroy anything else that moves against it. He imagines the terror of such complete love, never comprehending the transforming beauty of it. But Jesus says in Matthew 16:25, for whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Have you ever dreaded God, forgetting for a moment the gentleness of his immense love? Have you ever flinched away from his hand, imagining that it was raised to strike you, only to find that hand touching you more tenderly than any mother could? And then now we come to the beautiful conclusion of this powerful poem. Here's what it says. Now, of that long pursuit comes on at hand the bruit. That voice is round me like a bursting sea. And is thy earth so marred, shattered in shard on shard? Lo, all things fly thee, for thou fliest me. Strange, piteous, futile thing, wherefore should any set thee love apart? Seeing none but I makes much of naught, he said. And human love needs human meriting. How hast thou merited? Of all man's clotted clay, the dingiest clot? Alack, thou knowest not how little worthy of any love thou art. Whom wilt thou find to love and noble thee? Save me, save only me. All which I took from thee, I did but take not for thy harms, but just that thou mightst seek it in my arms. All which thy child's mistake fancies is lost, I have stored for thee at home. Rise, clasp my hand, and come. Halt by me that footfall, Is my gloom after all shade of his hand outstretched caressingly? Ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am he whom thou seekest. Thou dravest love from thee who dravest me. You see, finally God, you know, the Hound of Heaven, comes and he sees the world in pieces at the soul's feet. He says, there is no one left to love you but me. There was always only me. You thought I would hurt you. Remember that hand that he thought would strike him? He says, outstretched caressingly. You thought I would hurt you. Everything I did was for your good. Everything I took was only to give you something better. I love the quote where he says, all which I took from thee I did but take not for thy harms, but just that thou mightst seek it in my arms. Everything I took for you I took not to hurt you, but only so that you would find it more completely in me. He says at the end, ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am he whom thou seekest. And that last line, paraphrase, is, you drive away love from yourself when you drive away me. Isn't that a beautiful poem? I know it is very old language. I know that it might have been really hard to follow. If you would like to hear the poem as a whole, I put together kind of a lyric video that you can watch. You can find it on my website, CandidlyKendraK.com, and you can also find it on my YouTube channel, CandidlyKendraK. I hope, friends, that this will lead you to the Hound of Heaven, lead you to your Savior. He's there to love you. We might be dreading it, but that would just be such a mistake. Thanks, guys. You can find this post and more on my website at CandidlyKendraK.com. And like I said, you can also find a video of me reading this beautiful poem and a little bit of discussion on it on my YouTube channel, Candidly Kendra K. I hope you guys have an awesome evening, and I'll be back again with you tomorrow.